And so the headline of his life was disaster, but the story is being rewritten. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. That's kind of where I want to go. I want to talk about unwrapping Christmas's greatest gift. Because if you miss this gift, you miss out on what Christmas is, the purpose of Christmas, what Christmas is all about. There's just no denying that the world has turned Christmas into anything but. What's the longest you've had to wait in line for? Have the lines been 5 people, 10 people, 15 people, 20 people deep yet? Have you gone to Costco and said never again? Have you seen something, and right when you were about to grab it, did somebody else take it? That was me. No. No, it wasn't me. But it happens. So here's the whole thing. Our little series, we're wrapping it up, Let Hope In, is just a reminder that there is hope, that God offers hope, and Jesus is our hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. You're at Luke chapter 2, but let me just read for you Romans 15, verse 13. Notice what it says. This is a Christmas verse in a non-Christmas book of the Bible, because this is the greatest gift that you can receive, and this is God's gift to the world was Jesus, but Jesus came to destroy death and the power of sin. And notice what it says. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. There are a lot of people with a lot of money. There are a lot of people in this valley with bigger Christmas trees than you have, with more gifts under the tree than you'll ever have. But there are a lot of people in that situation that don't have the joy and peace that God is offering. And so here's what we want to do this morning. Number one, we want to unwrap the gift. Luke chapter 2. Turn with me. Luke chapter 2. If you get a gift for Christmas, what's the first thing you're supposed to do? Say it with me. Unwrap the gift. Okay? I have yet to see someone who says, oh, there's a gift under the tree for you, and they say, oh, just leave it there. You got to unwrap the gift. Notice Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, okay? Because here's the key thought. You have to unwrap the gift, but here's the application. You need to receive God's direction as a positive force in your life. You need to, okay? Read this with me. Receive God's direction. Okay, let's start again. Say it with me. Okay, ready? Here we go. Receive God's direction as a positive force in my life. Here's the whole thing. Have you had a change in your health? You need to receive God's direction as a positive force in your life. Have you had a change in your work situation in the last year? In your relationships? Have you had a change of some kind in your life? You need to receive God's direction as a positive force in your life. And here's the biblical backing for it. A young woman who's a virgin finds out that she's what? Pregnant. And she's not even married. And she could have been killed. But her husband chooses instead to say, no, I'm going to do what God wants. Because the angel appears to her, the angel appears to him. And now notice what they then have to do in Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So there was a census. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. It's an interesting thing, but when God sovereignly brought Joseph and Mary together, Joseph was of the line of David, but he was of a line of David that went from David to Solomon to the next son, where they became wicked kings, and God put a curse on that line of David's family and said, no other son will ever be king again. And so Joseph was not going to be the father of Jesus. He would be the stepfather of Jesus. But by being the stepfather of Jesus, he was still in the line of David. Mary, on the other hand, was from the line of David, one of David's other sons, where there was no curse on him. What's very interesting that in terms of God's direction, Jesus was born into a home where Joseph, although he was from a line that could not be king, Jesus had a father, a stepfather, who was from the line of David, but he was also from the physical line of David through Mary. Therefore, by being the son, the stepson of Joseph, and the physical son of Mary, he was the rightful king to the throne that God had promised. And that's a lot of information. So let's keep reading. Micah said that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem, and in the sovereign plan of God, God had a pagan ruler say, everybody go to your hometown, which meant that Joseph and Mary, his young pregnant wife-to-be, had to go to Bethlehem. And so guess where Jesus was born? Where he was prophesied to be born. Now, he was of the house and lineage of David to be registered with Mary, his betrothed. And so they were, it's a more than engagement. It is like marriage before the marriage, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, here's the whole thing. You need to unwrap the gift. You need to take what God is giving you right now, and you need to receive God's direction as a positive force in your life. Joseph and Mary, from where they were living to Bethlehem was 70 miles of mountainous terrain. 70 miles of traveling through very rugged territory, a young pregnant woman. And so it was not easy for them to go, but they received God's direction as a positive force in their life. We're going. We're doing this. The direction didn't come directly from God. There was no angel saying, go to Bethlehem. It was the state. It was a non-believing king, but they went. Then when they get there, she doesn't arrive and say, hey, everybody, I'm giving birth to the Messiah. I want the Hilton. No. She humbly took what God was leading them to do, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, the king of the universe, but wrapped him in strips of cloth, and she laid him in a manger, which is a place where animals feed. Why? Because there was no place for them in the inn. Kings are usually born where? In palaces. He was born in a manger. Kings are usually surrounded by soldiers. He was surrounded by shepherds. See, no one ever says, oh no, not another gift for me under the tree. In the same way, don't look at what God's doing in your life right now and say, oh no, not another hint from God on how I should be living. Not another hint from God on what direction my life should take. Not another hint from God on a choice I should choose. See, the whole thing here is that we need to receive God's direction, and we need to look at everything that is happening in our lives, and we need to say, God, okay, so listen to this. Are you able to say this with me? God, you are leading me to the place I need to be. You are leading me to the place you want me to be. You are leading me to the place where you can use me. Can you say that? Look at everything going on in your life right now. If you're thinking that the life of Christ is meant to be perfect, look at the life of Joseph and Mary. An unexpected pregnancy, a long, arduous journey. No respect. They're stuck in a stable. And ask yourself, if Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus are put in this situation, what about me? think about this. Can you say this? God, you are leading me to the place I need to be, the place you want me to be, the place where you can use me. And I guarantee that whatever God is taking you through, God wants you to unwrap the gift and have greater faith, greater trust, greater dependence. Because that's what God wants. And so number one, what's the first thing you do when someone gives you a gift? Unwrap the gift. Number two, unless you want to hurt their feelings, you need to use the gift. Have you ever had somebody say to you, how do you like the gift? Well, I exchanged it. Or I gave it away. Actually, have you ever been caught re-gifting a gift? In fact, what's funny is I've actually heard of people who have given a gift, that gift has been re-gifted, and then that other person re-gifted the gift to the person who gave the gift in the first place. You need to use the gift. You need to, and here's the big thought, you need to allow God's emotions. If God is giving you a gift, you need to allow God's emotions to rewrite your Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 14. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." God is a God who wants to fill you with the right emotions. And if you're taking notes, six emotions to give yourself this Christmas. Okay, six emotions, six gifts. Okay, so now let me just see what my next thing is here. Six emotions to give yourself, six gifts to give yourself this Christmas. If you're going to give yourself a gift this Christmas, I'm going to give you the top six gifts you need to give yourself. First of all, the angel appears in verse 10, and what's the first thing the angel says to them in verse 10? Fear not. The first emotion that you need to give yourself this Christmas is tranquility, the absence of fear. Do not fear. This Christmas, what is bothering you? What wakes you up at 3:00 in the morning? What are you not giving over to God? What are you not surrendering to God? What are you saying, God, you're not working fast enough, so I have to wake up at 3:00 in the morning so I can scheme and manipulate and mentally process the way that you should be working? The angel said the first gift that God gave said was, do not fear. Number two, for I bring you news of what? Verse 10, great joy. The second gift that God wants to give you, that you need to receive, that you need to give yourself, is the message of joy. Joy is the abounding emotion of calmness. It is the ability to look at situations and rejoice and say to yourself, this is good. And when it comes up again, you rejoice. And you say to yourself, this is good. And when the situation comes to mind again, you rejoice. You choose joy because you look at the situation as an opportunity to grow, as an opportunity to be better, as an opportunity to share Christ. But God wants you to give you, he says, do not fear. Second, he says, be joyful. Third, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. You need to give yourself belief. And the emotion that belief will stir in you is hope. When you come to believe Christ as Savior, the emotion that will well up within you is the emotion of hope. Because you can't save yourself, but God can through Jesus Christ. Hope is not blind faith. It's not a leap in the dark. Hope is taking God at His promise. And when the angel said, "For you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord," God says, "This is my proof that you can have hope." Number four. Look at this. Verse 12. "And this will be a sign for you." Look for God's signs for you. The emotion of anticipation. Did they ever have the old ketchup commercial here years ago where they sang the song Anticipation? No? Yes? I love that song. As you sit there and watch that ketchup slowly forever come out of the bottle. But the whole thing is this. Look for God's sign. Now, let me just say this about signs, okay? So let me just... Verse 12, "And this will be a sign for you." Here's the whole thing about signs. Signs are given to you that you might anticipate and walk with God, but if signs are demanded from you to God, they are a sign of your lack of faith and disobedience. For example, Gideon. Gideon was told by God, "Go and do this." Gideon asked for a sign. Not in faith, but in fear. So he said to God, "God, if you really want me to do this, then do this for me." And it had to do with a fleece, a piece of cloth that was on the ground, and it had to do with the dew on the ground, but the fleece would be dry, and it happens. But does he believe? No. He says, "God, I still want another sign." So then God does the reverse, and this time the fleece was wet, but the ground was dry. Here's the whole thing about signs. God is giving you signs all around. He's bringing people into your life saying, "You know, your temper is a little out of control." He's bringing people into your life saying, "Well, if you're really a Christian, shouldn't you be praying about this?" He's giving you signs all the time. And here's the whole thing. Did the shepherds ask for a sign, or did the sign appear to the shepherds? The shepherds were just out in their field, right? And suddenly, who appeared to them? And this is the whole thing. When the sign appears to you, you better listen. But if you say to God, "I know what your will is, but I'm not going to do it until you show me a sign," that's disobedience. You need to look around. Has God brought people into your life who have needs? That's a sign. Has someone come up to you and said, "Would you pray for me?" That's a sign. Have you met someone at work that says, "I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be all alone this Christmas." That's a sign. Signs, signs, everywhere signs. That's another old song. But here's the thing. Look for God's signs. I guess I'm not supposed to be a professional wrestler. Oh, man. I had my heart set on that. So here's the thing. When you start to look for the signs that God is giving you, rather than demanding signs to get what you want from God, you have the emotion of anticipation. I can't wait to see what God is going to do. See, when you allow God to rewrite your Christmas story, when you allow God to rewrite the story of your life, yes, I've gone through hardship, but God's going to rewrite this story. I am anticipating God's work. When you allow God to say, "You're not defeated, I have plans for you," suddenly you're filled with what? The anticipation and hope. You do not fear, you have joy. Not only that, but notice what happens. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" Notice what God gives you. He takes away the fear. He gives you joy. He gives you hope as you believe in the Savior. He allows you to suddenly get filled with the amazing Oh, when I was a child, I went to bed at Christmas Eve with what? Anticipation. And as an adult, we lose it, but God wants to give it back to you when you start to look for His work in your life, because God's not silent. And He fills your heart with praise and glory, and suddenly you realize that He then fills your heart with peace. You have to use the gift. You have to unwrap the gift. You have to use the gift. And the gift you need to give yourself this Christmas are the six emotions of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. One last thing. If you're really, really, really happy with how God is working in your life, you're going to unwrap the gift. You're going to use the gift. Anybody want to guess what number three is? Yeah. You need to share the gift. Notice this. 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they, what? Verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You know, here's the thing. You need to use what you have received to make a difference in a friend's life. That's the purpose of Christmas. You unwrap the gift, you use the gift, and then you share the gift. You need to use what you have received to make a difference in a friend's life. We need to fill this place with shepherds. We need to fill this place with people who hear from the shepherds. We need to just tell people, because witnessing or evangelizing or just sharing your faith is simply one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's what it is. And so let me read this for you. Christmas is less than a week away. No doubt you have pondered and puzzled over what you should get for who as you celebrate the birth of the Savior. Maybe it's a lot of stress for you. Maybe you're just like, I don't know what to get. I personally am the worst gift giver in the world. Ask my wife sometime what I gave her for our first Christmas. You'll be mortified. I thought they were pretty good gifts myself. They were very practical. And then I'll leave it at that. But anyway, no doubt you have pondered and puzzled over what you should get for who as you celebrate the birth of the Savior. Now, here is a gift-giving suggestion you may have overlooked. Why not offer an unsaved friend or a family member who doesn't know Christ the gift of eternal life? That's how it's described in Scripture. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, for you have been saved by grace through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And the whole thing is here. Why not? You know, it's interesting, but at perhaps no other time of the year are people more less resistive to the Christmas story than at Christmas. There are people who don't go to church who love, oh, that classic, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And remember, the Grinch is green, the Grinch isn't in the Bible, but what's the focus? It was because he needed a change of what? Heart. You think that's biblical? Yeah. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. A Charlie Brown Christmas, where CBS back in the 1960s said there's no way we want to use the Bible in a Christmas show, in a Christmas program that's going to go on TV. And Charles Schulz said, sorry, if you want a Charlie Brown Christmas, you get the Bible. And you know what's interesting about the Charlie Brown Christmas? Watch it again. All through his life, Linus is holding a blanket. And there's only one time in his life that Linus ever lets go of that blanket willingly. And that is when he reads these words, "Peace. For unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Isn't that an interesting message from Charles Schulz? All those things you're clinging to, all those things that you think will make you happy, but what you really need is Christ. And so why not? Maybe all that's keeping your friends from coming to faith in Christ is a clear presentation of Jesus Christ. And we need, in this valley, a clear presentation of Christ, because it's pretty muddy. I mean, between Jesus the do whatever you want, and Jesus the ask me and I'll give you whatever you want, and Jesus the rock star, and Jesus the, you know, well, what would you like Jesus to be? We need a clear presentation of the real Jesus. And so why don't you pray? Let's pray right now. So number one, what are you going to do? Unwrap the gift. Number two, use the gift. Number three, share the gift. Father, right now, may we just think of one person that we know that needs Jesus, that needs the gift of salvation. And may we ask that you give us the boldness, because that's what you desire to do, just like in the book of Acts, that you gave boldness to share. May we have the boldness to share Christ in a clear and loving way with someone who needs a relationship with you. Lord, help us. We pray that it would mark this time of year, not just the birth of a Savior, but that it would mark the spiritual birth of someone that we've been praying for, someone that we know needs Christ. Lord, help us, I pray. Help us to realize, Lord, that you have given us incredible, incredible opportunities through Christ. We don't have to fear. We can have joy. We can have hope. We can have anticipation. We can give up control and be free from whatever is consuming us, that our hearts might be filled with praise and glory. And we can accept your peace and have peace that is beyond what we've ever known before. Lord, help us, I pray, to have this. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.